Come on, you can show them. Am I the only truthful one here, or am I going to... Okay, there we go. You get tired of helping people. I get it. I get it. Paul told us in Galatians 6, he said, but do not be deceived. We will reap if we faint not. We will reap. But understand this, you don't have to help everybody. Do you know that? You are not called to help everybody. You are called to help those that are set in front of you. And, you know, just like some blessings, you know, years ago, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a thrifty shopper, I guess you could say. I hit, like if I go to Lowe's, I go around looking for the yellow stickers first. I used to make a pass through the entire store looking for the clearance stickers. I bought a lot of tools that way. I mean, I bought $200 saws for $25 because people didn't care. I'm like, I can order the wrench. I can buy a new blade. Well, I want the warranty. The warranty's dead in a year anyhow, and it don't break until 2 years. So, but what I had to learn in there, though, is that we'd come upon things, and I'd be like, oh, but that is such a good deal. Do you know how good of a deal it is? And she would say, where are you going to put that? What are you going to do with it? I don't know. Well, that's when I got the revelation. Not every blessing that I find is for me. I'm a hound dog when it comes to looking for those deals and looking for those blessings. I am the guy who says, look at the horse poo. There's got to be a pony. There's a blessing in here somewhere. And so I'll go digging through it. But if it's old horse poo, see, you do have to check. If it's old horse poo, it means the pony's been long gone for years. But sometimes you have to walk away from something. You say, oh, but God put it in front of me. I found it. It means it's mine. No, not always. If you're somebody who's always looking for something, you will find. Seek and you will find. That is exactly what the scripture says. It may not be yours. Or maybe you are supposed to buy it, but before you leave, you're supposed to give it to somebody else who maybe didn't have the extra $2.50. You know, there are people in those stores who are in that situation. They didn't have, they were buying what they could. And they just, they came across it and saw it. Now, I'll tell you how I've started learning how there's a blessing for me involved in that. The second that I show interest, it's a honeybee swarm. Everybody starts circling. They're all waiting for me to walk away from it because they know. I bought a Shopsmith one time, came across it in a Goodwill. Yes, I shop Goodwill. Shops, no. There's not too many men's clothes in there. Y'all know this. We don't get rid of squat until it is useless. So, yeah. So it's like, okay. There's a reason why they're still pulling 70s clothes out of guys' closets. But anyhow, I came across this Shopsmith one time. I was like, oh, I remember as a kid, like, that would be the most awesome thing to have. Yes and no. Yeah, it can be a lathe, it can be a drill press, it can be a sander, it can be a table saw, it can be all that in one thing. It takes a lot of time to set up. So I realized after I bought it, there were certain things I wanted it for, but I bought my own table saw and stuff. But anyhow, the second I started looking at that, I was like, ooh, ooh, yeah. Well, about the time this guy started, I noticed him. He was like a great white shark. He kept getting closer and closer. And then when we plugged it in and we turned it on and the store lights went, ooh. And I later found out there was nothing wrong with it. Somebody did something that made an adjustment that shouldn't have been made. And he was still hanging around because it came with a box full of tools. Now, you need to understand, when this thing was new, it was between $3,000 and $5,000 in the 80s. This was not a, it's a $200 thing. But I bought it with all these cool tools that came with it. That was my blessing. I still have it to this day. I only use it as a lathe and a minor drill press for certain things. And that's when I realized that blessing was for me. If I go looking, like this building had sat on the market. I forget how long it had sat on here, and nobody was biting. Nobody wanted it. They came and they said, but they're not together. They're that building's ugly, this one's nice, you know, what can we do? Well, you know, when God told me to stop here, it was right after that we signed the agreement. We had a guy pull in, I think Pat and somebody else was here the day the guy said, hey, would you guys ever consider renting this out for me for my semi? Mind you, we're cleaning the ceilings and everything, tearing stuff off the walls and getting and starting to build. We had that guy, and then I talked to a guy later. He said, yeah, you bought my shop. He said, I was going to buy that and put a shop in there. No, you're not. God had other plans. And that's how you know when the blessing's for you. But how about helping people? In Matthew chapter 25, it's not going to come up. I'm just going to paraphrase the story. This is the separation of the sheep and the goats. We've gone over it many, many times. The goats he put on his left, the sheep he put to his right. Always understand that the right hand in the Bible means something. It's usually authority, blessing. And he said to those sheep on the right, he said, here, enter into your reward. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me water. I was a stranger, and you took me in. And they're like, Lord, we don't remember doing that for you. He said, but when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And likewise on the goats, he said, you depart into everlasting damnation, for I was hungry and you never fed me. I was thirsty, and so on. And he said, you never did it. It kind of, okay, yeah. Now understand, our salvation is not based on our works. It's about faith in Christ. But we do need to understand something. It is our responsibility. I won't get fancy with words. It is our responsibility to do things like that. But here's what you need to understand. It's an individual thing. The church does it too. Don't get me wrong. We're coming up into Christmas season. We're going to help mothers with babies all around the world. We're going to help people in Columbus who are homeless have food and shelter and clothing. We're going to do all this stuff, and we do it throughout the year. We make sure that underprivileged families in this county, that they can send their kids to school in nice clothes. You know, we all remember the one kid whose toes were sticking out of his shoes because his family didn't have money, and he would just play it off. But the truth of the matter is they were so dirt poor, they couldn't afford a new pair of shoes. And so we make sure that we can do all that. And that is why we are blessed, folks. I'm here to tell you, we are a blessed congregation. We are a blessed body, not only collectively, but individually. But there comes that personal responsibility time. Doing random things. What does this matter? Well, it matters to God. Because he said, when you do it to the least. But here's what the church has gotten, and it actually aggravates me a lot. We look at children in particular. So many churches today, as soon as you go in, they funnel the children off to a playground. Okay, I get it. Our kids are little. They're not going to comprehend everything during praise and worship. My own grandson over here playing with trucks and cars, I love that. Okay? I do love that. They're in the presence of God. They're in here. But keep in mind, they are watching us. If you don't worship, they don't worship. They won't know how to worship. The things, I think back, how many things I learned by watching my dad. And my brother, he was just up this week and spent some time with him. And he's like, I'm going to watch how you do this. I'm going to watch how you do this. See if I can maybe improve my skills. I know that's pretty, you know. Kind of give the old big brother a pat on the back there, you know, kind of roll my chest out. Yeah, I was doing one of my least favorite jobs, drywall. And I said, well, this is how I do it. You know, and I tried to show him some things I'd learned by watching Rob's brother Sean when he was in here. I was like, okay, dude, I'm going to watch. You have got the skills. And he rock and rolled. And I'm like, okay, my job's, I need to replicate that. And I tried. And sometimes I fail. But I realized he was watching for me. He says, you know, Art, he said, it's not about, for me, it's not about what we're doing. It's about spending time. Now, you see, a lot of people look at us and they say, well, I can't be like Harold. Well, you can do what you can do in your abilities. You don't have to be me. Thank God. You need to be thanking God that you don't have to be me. But you need to be you through Christ. Paul put it this way. He said, only follow me if I'm following Christ. If I'm not following Christ, run. You know what? I mean, there's times that Paul comes across, it sounds like he might be a little bit pretentious. You know what I'm saying? But to say that, but follow me as I follow Christ, that is a humble statement. So, but anyhow, so we know that we're supposed to be doing things. We're supposed to be helping other people. We're supposed to be doing things. And even if people don't recognize it and they don't see it, if we're doing it for glory right now, you missed when Jesus said, lay not up your treasures here, but lay them up in heaven. Do you know where what those treasures are? Those treasures are giving somebody who's thirsty a drink of water. Well, Pastor, don't you know I don't agree with their philosophy? I don't agree with their lifestyle. Who gives a holy rip? It's not about what you believe. It's not about that. Christianity is not actually about giving things, but it's that is part of what we're supposed to be doing. I know lots of good people that deny Christ, but yet they're out there giving. They're out there handing out food. They're out there handing out water and clothes. Well, my church does it. I don't need to get involved. No, you don't need to get involved. You need to do it individually. You need to pay attention. Start looking. Start paying attention to what people are doing. Well, I'm not going to watch people. Why not? Your Savior was a people watcher. Do you know that he's at the well? He was watching the woman who was getting water. He was watching her and he spoke to her. Why? Because he had observed things. Jesus paid attention to what was going on with people in their lives. When the woman came to him and she's crying at his feet and she's washing his feet with this oil and she's drying it with and her tears and she's drying it with her hair. So we got a couple people maybe with long enough hair that could do that. But it only holds so much. And the people sat around. Oh, look at that. Look at what she did. We could have sold that for $30,000 and we could have helped the poor. Well, we know that the truth was he wasn't going to sell it for $30,000 without taking his cut. And Jesus looked at the master of the house who was a part of the conversation. He said, you know, when I came in here, you didn't even offer me water to wash my feet. And yet this woman has continued to wash my feet with her tears. She is so broken right now. And then he turned around and he said, from whom much is forgiven, much will be required. And they will love much. Listen, I've got a lot of things I don't ever want showing up on anybody's radar. It's on God's and that's where it needs to stay. And don't tell me you don't. I'm in good company. But back to doing things. Well, God, I don't know how I can help somebody. You know, you could help that young lady who's at the grocery store, who's got three kids, you could offer a hand. She may not take it, and it's understandable because we're in a day and age where, especially after COVID, we don't trust each other. You get a little sniffle, the first thing is, did you take your COVID test? Everybody's got it. You got it? You're going to pop. Why? Because it is now the flu. The flu killed millions of people too. Why? Because they wouldn't rest. They wouldn't take the right medicines. They wouldn't let their bodies heal. And they usually died of the same thing that killed everybody with pneumonia. Pneumonia. I got ahead of myself. So now we don't trust each other. I get it. You want to wear a mask in the store? Go for it. I don't care. That is you. I've had COVID. Kicked my butt. But I was also coming off of a time where we had been at least a month and a half straight. We hadn't really rested. And so when it hit us, it was the proverbial freight train. But I'm here to tell you, we have got to start trusting people. Hold the door. You know what, here's the deal. If you shop at Aldi, bless somebody with your quarter. Leave it in the thing. If you don't know what they do, they make you put a quarter in so you'll put the cart back. Smart idea. You know, just the other day, well, it was yesterday, pulled into Big Lots. We're going to run in there real quick, trying to find a couple chairs. And I get in the parking lot, and there's a cart in the middle of the road. I'm like, what gives? It's right where I need to park. Or I want to park, I should say. So I had to drive all the way around. Then I get cut off by this woman in a black Jeep. My wife, if you hadn't figured it out. And I got out, I locked my truck up, and I put the cart away. Was it my cart? No. But you know what I didn't want? I didn't want somebody not paying attention, whose kids maybe got a little distracted. And they were back here, Mommy, Mommy, go to the store. Right? Do kids still do that? Joshua, do your kids still get excited? Yeah, I know they do. And so I put it away. It wasn't mine to do. Well, who did I bless? I might have blessed some young mother whose husband was already stressed out about his job, who had a couple kids and didn't see the cart, thought she had the room and hid it and dented her car. I don't know who I might have helped. But you know what? You know how many people had probably already driven by it? And if I hadn't done it, who will? You know, sometimes we have to understand, we have to do something ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, he starts talking about a prophet. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward and so forth. And then he gets down, he said, and if you give one of these little ones, a little child, a drink of water in the name of a disciple, you will by no means lose your reward. He didn't even say they were Christian or Jew. Whatever you do to other people, God sees it. If you do it, you are a disciple of Christ. You're doing it in the name of a disciple. You will be rewarded for that. Know that. And if God tells you to give somebody some money, give them the money. Because he said, when you lend to the poor, you lend to God. And I'm here to tell you right now, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, they ain't got enough money to outbid God. So don't worry about that. Our lives are temporary here. That is it. They're temporary. We literally are passing through now. This stuff does not matter. Yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of some nice things, and I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying you need to do with what you got what God says to do it. And if it's buying somebody a Happy Meal, buy them the stinking Happy Meal. Oh, but I don't agree with all that McDonald's, you know. Oh, shut up your self-righteousness and buy them the stinking Happy Meal. We get so bent out of shape about the wrong things. And then we come into church and our mind, you know, we're supposed to be worshiping and our mind is on the ball game this afternoon. Hope I didn't just step on anybody's toes. Not. Or we're thinking about what we got to do at work tomorrow. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough of its own problems. God said, let that dog sleep. It's going to wake up. And then you're going to deal with it. Oh, but, you know, November's coming and I've got this, this, and this, and this. You know what? I got this, this, and this, and this. So what? We're all in the same boat. Live now. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. I told her this morning, I said, I don't know how this is going to go today. But I said, there's been a couple times I felt the Lord wanted us to go a little further. I said, you prepare three more songs. I think the next one was God is great. How great is our God? I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, Lord, do I? And then he started really stirring, preach. Folks, our lives are not just unto ourselves. Everything we do. And Jesus said, oh, by the way, and those in the household of faith, even more so. If you see a need and you can fill it, guess what? God said, you fill it. Because God wants to bless you. And understand how God's blessings work. If you bless somebody else, the blessing isn't coming from them. Do you know how many people look at that and said, well, hey, I helped you. You have to help me now. That ain't how this works. Because God will say, hey, I'm going to send this person to help them. What if you're dealing with somebody who's 99? I mean, they ain't going to be able to help you do this, this, and this. But you go and help them and say, well, now you need to come to my house and pull weeds out of my garden. That ain't happening. I'll tell you right now, I don't pull weeds in my own doggone garden. I put down geotextile cloth and burned holes where the plants go. Works great. We have become a body that is solely focused on itself. What does the community think about us? I don't care. I've heard it said in the body of Christ by preachers preaching the truth of God that said you need to worry when the community speaks well of you. And that's not because you're doing good things. It's because they've got you where they want you. They're controlling the narrative now. There's a family that needs help. We're going to throw this on the church instead of the community coming together. If my neighbor needs help, it's my responsibility, not Miss Brenda's. Not yours. It's my neighbor. Now, sure, if we can, if it's a major devastation thing, we can all come together. We've done that several times for people who have lost their children through various things and things like that in the community. I have no problem with that. But what happens when we no longer take a personal responsibility for those around us? You know, my next door neighbor, last May, she passed away. Told her husband, said, make sure you wake me up at such and such time so I can go get my McDonald's. That was the last thing she ever said to him. He came in, hey, time to get up. She's asleep. Never woke up. And I was driving by and was going by and I saw him sitting on the porch. Never come to my church. Doesn't call me regularly to talk. But I turned around. I went back and I spent a few minutes with him talking. And that's how I know the story, because he told me. Later, was it his birthday? Something you made to pie? I think it was his birthday. We found he's on Facebook, so we knew his birthday. I said, hey, I called him up and said, hey, we got something for you. Again, we're not buds. I couldn't even get permission to hunt on the property. But he's our neighbor. He's my neighbor. And it's my responsibility to reach out and do something for him. Which, by the way, it's the same family that donated a bunch of stuff to the church that we were able to have the garage sale, and we auctioned a few things off on eBay and made a lot of money for the shipping in 20. Same family. It's a responsibility we have. Well, who's my neighbor? I don't want to know my neighbor. My neighbors are jerks. I've thought about getting my neighbor this sign, although it reads a certain word, starts with an A and ends with a hole, that I wanted to get for my neighbor to put on his side. It says, my neighbor is an... I thought, I can be, and I can be a real jerk. But you know, I can joke with him like that. Because I know doggone well that if I need something, he's there. Oh, by the way, they were. The day after, the day when I got back home from the hospital, they were cutting my firewood that the tree had fallen on me. They cut it up, they brought it and threw it behind the barn for us. Didn't ask them. And I said, you guys, I appreciate it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll cook you dinner. I got everything, was going to cook them dinner. None of them replied back. They didn't want anything. My thank you was it. Do you know how many people? Well, they didn't even invite me over. It kind of started opening my eyes to how petty the body of Christ becomes. We want recognition for what we did. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you knew half of what you've participated in, you would be an arrogant bunch. Because we've done a lot in this community as well to help people. But we don't tell everybody what we did. I tell you because you're helping. You did it. I'm not the guy that wants the attention, really. You know, I've always lived with the philosophy, he who draws most attention draws the first fire. I'm keeping my head down. I don't want to, you know, when I enlisted, the recruiter's like, hey, oh man, Art, your score, you could do this. Hey, do you want to be a radio operator? And I looked at him, and I'm serious. I looked at him and said, Sergeant, isn't a radio operator the first one they shoot? Pretty much. I said, no, thank you. And those things are heavy. That's what people don't get. Those things are stinking heavy. And you got to carry it with your weapon and all this other stuff. And you got to be trying to shoot. And you got this 10-foot whip on top of you. This whipping around there. And like you're hiding behind a log. And the next thing you know, that's why they were constantly changing radio operators in those movies in World War II. They had that antenna that showed where they were at. I don't want to draw attention to us. I believe in swift, silent, and deadly. It's where I want to be. I want to be effective for God. Well, it sounds like you're hiding. No, we do everything we're supposed to. The demons know we're here. Those are the ones. So there's a personal responsibility. I know I've preached a very similar message, and you know what? I preach what God tells me to preach. And if I preach anything other than what the Word says, then all I am is a guru. And I'm trying to build a following unto me. I'm trying to lead you to Christ, not to me. And when he says, you do things. You know what? The woman's house needs washed down the road. Well, you either pay for it, or you get your slap happy butt off your lazy boy and go in there and wash her house. Well, it's not mine. She goes to another church. We is all the body of Christ. You need to get that out of your brain housing group. We're all the body of Christ. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But you know what we live by? Do unto others before they do unto you. It's not God. You rejoice when people rejoice. You mourn when they mourn. That's what the Bible tells us to be. And I'm telling you, and I'm showing you, it was in Matthew 25. Read it for yourselves. Jesus separated his people by what they did. the goats got self-righteous. There's even one they said, didn't we cast out demons and heal the sick in your name? He said, yeah, but you never knew me. Did you ever notice Jesus fed? We have two accounts of large feedings. We can't say that it's the only one. Two accounts where he fed 5,000 plus, and they only counted the men. There's up to 15,000 people with women and children that were fed with those fishes and loaves. And he did it. You know what the disciples were? They were thinking religiously, let's send them back. We don't want to get into our coffers here. We can't afford. They said, we can't afford to feed them all. Jesus is like, just tell them to sit down. What do we got I can work with? He's like, you done forgot I turned water into wine. And he fed them and left that little boy with 12 baskets of food. The little boy sowed that seed and he got the reward. Oh no, the disciples went and took that. No, I guarantee you Jesus said that belongs to him. He's the one that sowed the seed. You didn't even think to bring lunch, Peter. I want to make sure that we are doing everything we can do. Now, if you can't reach out and do what you think you can do and you need help, that's when you reach out. Hey, I need help. There's no harm in calling for help. But there is harm in saying, well, the need is in front of me. And you need to ask God, what can I do? Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'll share you with this story. Because sometimes the need that's in front of you isn't the need that you're actually supposed to fulfill in the way you think you're supposed to fulfill. Is that making sense? We were newly married. We're still newlyweds. Just moved together down to Jacksonville, North Carolina. We were in church 3 months then, 2 or 3 months at that point, and we realized how quickly that the government lies about what you're getting. Go figure. You know, when you... And, you know, I was supposed to be getting a certain amount for housing, and it's like, oh, hey, we don't get that. We get a minute proportion, like $25, $30 out of what was supposed to have been $400. And we got very little. And so we were hurting. That was the time when we had $25 for every 2 weeks. And... we were hurting. We were tithing. We were honoring God. We were doing what we're supposed to be doing. And they had a special prayer line one day. And they had said, if you are believing God for a financial miracle, I want you to come up. We're like, okay. We went up there. Now the pastor said, now turn around. That's the last thing you want to do. Hey, y'all, I need money. I need money. He said, I want you to turn around now. He said, now, out there, God has already told some of you to help. Get up here and help who you were told to help. Man, people's... And just so you know, there was a few people in there who were millionaires. And we're standing there, just the two of us, you and I, baby. We're like, okay, God... Are we in the wrong line? And this blonde gal shows up. And I knew her husband was a sergeant. One stripe above mine. And she came up. And she took us both by the hands. And she says, I don't have money I can give you. But what I do have. She shared faith with us. And ladies and gentlemen, it was within a week we were out of that house. We were in base housing where I was told I was on the bottom of the list. I.e. there was 200 Marines ahead of me. We get a call, if you will take this place sight unseen, it's yours. I'm like, God, is it one of those out by itself? Because I really don't like living wall to wall with people. You know, I always grew up in the middle of nowhere. And this was, well, nope, it wasn't. We were right between two people. But you know what? My electric was paid for, which meant my heat was paid for. My air conditioning was paid for. My water was paid for. God began to pour out blessing into our lives. And I'm here to tell you, folks, the day that we made an offer on this building with $3,000 in our building fund and no money down and just our word that we will pay it, started. And I wish I could see her face. Sherry. The day Sherry took our hands is when that seed was planted. And we're here to tell you that God will move. He will move, but you have to be faithful. Through those years, we learned to sow seed. We learned to help people. We've taken groceries to people, given money to people. We've learned that, and I'm here to tell you, I am blessed. No, I'm not a millionaire, but I'm more. I am blessed. I'm happier than a millionaire. Because I ain't worried who's trying to take my money. Because I ain't got much to take. I want you to believe the same things. You see somebody who needs a hand. Give it. Well, I don't like them. Doesn't the word say that when you see your enemy needing help, help and coals will be poured upon their head? When you get hot, you know, anybody ever gotten burnt? Oh, here, I got this nice burn right here. I was smoking. Stop right there. What was that? No, it wasn't a brisket. Salmon. I was smoking salmon last week. Not it was in my smoker, okay? That's why I wanted to stop right there. I know as soon as I said I was smoking, and I'm thinking, everybody's like, what were you smoking, Pastor? We've wondered a few times. And I remembered, oh yeah, I didn't clean out my water trough, my water and grease trough in the bottom. And I was going to put apple cider in it so that apple cider soaked up into the salmon because I had apple wood. Well, I had failed to realize how long it had been in there, and the chamber was about 225, and I forgot it had water in it. And, well, I got a nice burn here and one right here when I realized that it was full and it came off the rack and went, oh. And then the grease that was in the water went on the flames. And I honestly forgot where I was going. Yeah. But I got burned. Coals, yes, thank you. I knew. See, sometimes I get on these rabbit trails, doggone it. The beagle went that way and the rabbit went that way. And I'm... But you'll pour heaping coals, just like that grease poured right onto that fire, and all I could do was shut the door. It's like, Lord, please don't let my salmon be scorched. It wasn't. It was delicious. And so that's what giving to people you don't like is like. Don't worry about, oh, but if I bless somebody, if I give something, if I bought somebody's dinner, who cares? You don't even have to know them. Did you know that? You do not have to know those people to pick up their check. Oh, well, I'll just never do that. Try it sometime. It's exhilarating. Anytime I'm out, it's just a matter of my principle. Anytime I'm out, and particularly Marine recruiters, I pick up their check. Two of them came. We were at Hong Kong Buffet. I said, I want their check. They came over and thanked me because they told her, or she told them. And, you know, they didn't really ask why. I just do it. Because while they are trained liars, I'm not going to, you have to lie to people to get them to join. That's just all there is to it. If we tell you, yeah, we're going to put you through hell, and we're going to pay you low, and we're going to give you terrible beds, and we're going to make you get up at the crack of dawn, and we're going to call you names. Although I'm understanding they're not allowed to call them names anymore. But anyhow, we won't get on that subject. I do it? Because the Marines made me who I am. But I learned more about God in the Marines than I did. Because I already had the base. You understand? Not because I got in there. If I didn't have the base, I had already read the Bible through. And I had the word in me. And God took that word and I started putting it to application. And I started seeing it. Ah, this is what the centurion meant when I tell one to go and he goes. And the other one to come here and he comes. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, it gets a little... you get a little cocky when you start getting those stripes on there and you're like, hey, yo, PFC, come here. And I remember those days. When am I going to get promoted? Tired of being everybody's gopher. Understand, God will bless you mightily if you'll give what you're supposed to give. If you're supposed to move a cart, move the cart. Pick up the piece of trash. Well, it's not my piece of trash. I ain't picking it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. It don't have to be yours. Do you know how many cigarette butts I picked up in the Marine Corps? And only smoked 2 cigarettes. I'm like, I'm sick of picking up cigarette butts. Roll the thing up and put it in your pocket. But I'd pick them up. Why? They've told me to. The person with authority told me to pick it up. It's how we keep it from looking like a dump. You want to look out in your community? Well, I just can't believe that piece of trash is still laying there on the side of the road. You see who's seeing it, right? Pull your car over. It will go to the side of the road. If you got a truck, drop the tailgate. If you got a trunk, lift the trunk. Throw the trash in, go home, and throw it away. And watch what will start happening in your community. Well, I can't believe they don't take care of their house. Look at your house first before you gripe. You want people to fix up their houses? Fix up yours. They'll start following through. It's just like when everybody starts mowing their yards in the summer. My neighbor starts mowing. I can hear it. He's in the back 40 mowing. Oh, I gotta go mow. He's going to have his yard nice before mine. They call that neighbor peer pressure. But we're getting ready to come into the season that we always consider as a giving season. Listen, folks, that should be Christians year-round, period. We see somebody in need. You know, people are in need in the springtime, too. Summer. You know, bad things happen all year round. It's not just winter. Winter, we do because it's colder. But we need to be making sure we're listening to God and blessing and doing the things he said to do. All right, let's stand. I want you to remember God is great. And he is so, so good. He's not up in heaven just waiting to smack you because you disobeyed. You may get smacked. Not going to lie. But it's not God doing it. The devil was waiting. He was waiting for your disobedience, just like I did with that tree. He told me to cut it down, and I said, no, I'm cutting this one first. Well, y'all know the history. By the way, do you know why I chose those particular trees to cut? They weren't on my property. They weren't bothering me. They were dead on somebody else's property. I chose to cut them, got permission to cut them, because if they had fallen, one of my sons could have drove into it. Because they were on the blind side of a hill. And I said, I won't have that be on me. The landowner doesn't care. The county will clean it up. Yeah, the county will clean it up after somebody plows into it. And then what? One of my children dead, and well, it wasn't my fault. Man, I get it. But I could cut them down. If I'd have just listened to God, though, on cutting that one stupid tree down. So listen to God when he says, cut that one stupid tree down. Cut it down first. It's not fun. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you in Jesus' mighty name. Lord God, you have given us that name that we may come to you boldly. And Father, we do. And Father, I thank you right now that you're quickening our eyes and our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear you, to give and to do things, to help people. Father, we may give that drink of water. We may give that morsel of food or that coat. Father, we may make arrangements for somebody to have a home. Lord God, I thank you right now that you're moving in our hearts to quicken us to be responsible, to listen, and to react. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you also said that we can pray for those who are sick and they shall recover. So right now, Lord God, you see the people that are home today because they are sick. Right now, touch them. Heal them, Lord God. I thank you right now you're removing sickness from their bodies. You're healing them. You're restoring their strength. You're settling their stomachs and you're reducing these fevers because these viruses and germs are gone in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord God, I thank you for these people. I pray your protection over their health, Lord God. This does seem to be the season. So, Lord, I bless them with that, Lord God. You apply the spiritual masks to keep these germs at bay. Now, Lord, I bless them. I thank you. You're moving in their lives. Lord God, you're bringing out blessing into their lives, Father, and just amazing them and showing them just how much you love them for being obedient in Jesus' name. Amen.